West Greenan. What is your name, sir?
Yes, my name is Marvin Smith Jr.
Marvin Smith Jr. That sounds like an important name, sir. Okay, sir, let me see who's going to conduct the hearing at this time, sir. The Honorable Mr. Leo will chair your hearing. He will be the lead, so just hold on, sir. We've got the Honorable Mr. David Leo and the Honorable Mr. Marvin Smith. Two rather custom names. Okay, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. You're appearing before the Honorable Board of Executive Policy in reference to your community supervision revocation.
All right.
I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Louis Canones, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman, the Honorable Gail Wittenhouse, and the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead. Also, today we have Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections, and he'll also represent the parole office today.
All right.
And prior to this hearing, you received a notification from advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that form, sir?
I do indeed.
Okay. On that form, you are notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
Today, I will be representing myself.
Okay, at this time I will swear you, Mr. Westby, in. So will you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help the God and do you so affirm?
That is correct, I do.
And you're going to be living in two phases, sir. In phase one, you will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And then in phase two, you will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Okay, sounds good.
So in phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the four allegations that are on your warrant. After each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false.
All right, let's go.
All right, allegation number one is violation of Maryland condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about May 4, 2018, for the task GCMS lab report dated May 10, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
All right, allegation number two is violation of Maryland condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of morphine on or about May 4, 2018, for the task GCMS lab report dated May 10, 2018. Is that true or false, sir?
Unfortunately, that is true as well, sir.
Allegation number three is violation of Maryland condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your taking an item that did not belong to you without permission on or about May 5th, 2018 in Maricopa County. Is that true or false, sir?
That is false, sir.
Okay. I'm going to go through the other allegation and then we'll go back and get some more information on that.
Okay.
So allegation number 4 is violation of Maryland condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in threatening behavior on or about May 5th, 2018 in Maricopa County. Is that one true or false, sir?
That is false, sir.
Okay, so we're going to now go to Mr. Westby with more information about those two allegations.
Okay.
So, allegation number 3, Mr. Westby.
According to State Police Department Officer Reza, number 09902, the following incident occurred. On May 5th, 2008, at 1706 hours, he responded to a criminal damage call at 2700 West Pearson Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Upon arrival, he contacted his suspect, identified later as Marvin Smith Jr., the offender, who was walking westbound toward 27th Avenue on the south side of Pearson Street. He contacted the offender, who was then placed in double-locked handcuffs and detained. Officer Ariza then contacted the victim, Victoria Ann Hernandez, who explained the following. Victoria said she was traveling westbound on Pearson Street when she drove by and saw her friend Lori Waitman standing outside of her residence at 2616 West Pearson Street. Victoria said Lori explained she had contacted the police because the offender, who was at the time across the street, had stolen her 3 phones. Victoria said she looked across the street and saw the offender pointing his finger toward Lori as if it was a gun and yelling, "Bang!" Victoria said she was inside her vehicle, F2549B. It was parked alongside the side of the road in front of 2616 West Pearson Street. A minute later, the offender came running towards the front of her vehicle and jumped on the front windshield. Victoria said his offender landed on the windshield and cracked and shattered. Victoria said the offender then pointed his finger as if it was a gun towards her
and said, quote, "Got you, bitch, bang," end quote, before jumping off the hood of the car and leaving. Victoria said she then contacted police. The offender was placed under arrest at 17:18 hours. Upon search incident to arrest, one phone owned by victim Laurie Waitman was found on the offender's person. While on scene, the offender complained of his legs being broken and shoulder being broken. Reference police fire department incident number 18-167261. LA 19A shift responded to the scene and provided medical attention to the offender. Due to the offender being uncooperative, no Miranda rights were given and no information was collected. The offender was transported and booked into jail. The offender was charged with criminal damage and theft.
Thank you. Allegation number four is actually the same verbiage all the way through, so.
That is correct.
What was the, excuse me, I couldn't understand the last part, sir.
Okay. Hang on a second, sir. Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, the last part, how far did you understand in that?
No, I understood everything. It was just the last sentence that you stated, the phone kind of broke up.
Oh, okay. The last thing that he read was...
No,
he said, okay, what we're saying is that the write-up number one, allegation number three, and allegation number four are the verbiage is the same for both allegations. And at the end where it says, the offender was charged with criminal damage and theft. Those are the two separate allegations. One's criminal damage, one's theft. But it's the same exact report. And that's all... That's one of the statements we were making about that.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
So, that way, Mr. Westby can save his voice and not have to read the second one.
All right, understood.
Okay, so tell me, sir, what's false about that?
All right, sir. It's completely false. As far as the situation, what happened was the woman tried to run me over with her vehicle. She tried to run me over. I jumped up. I didn't want to get run over by the SUV. I jumped up. She hit me with the car. Boom, the windshield did break. I'm not sure of any other damages, but it was just pure. The woman was trying to run me over. And, you know, it doesn't really make sense. Like, I don't know why someone would jump on a vehicle to damage it or anything like that. The engine revved up. Boom, car came up. I heard the ground under the tires grab and... Yeah, I had no choice really but to jump up so I didn't get killed. So I jumped up and the woman hit me with the vehicle. And at that point, I was on top of the vehicle. I rolled off of the vehicle and I did give her the middle finger and say, fuck you. You know, I did do that, but that was because she tried to run me over with her car.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move this forward and you'll have a chance to a little bit more explain about those two allegations in phase two. Okay, sir?
Okay, all right, thank you.
Based on the admissions of Mr. Smith for allegation 1 and 2 and the information received from the Department of Corrections for allegations 3 and 4, I'm going to move to find that Mr. Smith was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have lapsed or not lapsed in the criminal ways of the company.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded by Ms. Rubenhouse, agreed by Dr. White. Mr. Johnson and Mr. Canoes. Okay, sir, we're going to move into phase two of the interview, but first, Mr. Westby is going to give some background information, so stay on the phone and I'll be right back to you.
All right.
Mr. Westby.
On April 26, 2018, Mr. Smith was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 8, 2018 by ABC staff on violations of pending charges. He was back in U.S. custody May 8th, 2018, with a projected supervision end date of September 24th, 2018, 0 scan days. Current conviction, 2017, aggravated assault, 1 year. 2017, endangerment, 1 year, 3 months. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term at DOC. CUIR score, 3-3. Mental health score, 1. Substance abuse score, 1. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are minimal with violence noted. Other arrests.
2013, criminal simulation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. All of the arrests listed resulted in charges that were not filed or processed. His community risk score is a G1B2. Has status of charges from Senior Officer Rich, dated May 30th, 2018, that state per the Phoenix City Prosecutor, misdemeanor charges for criminal damage and theft are still pending, and offender has a bond forfeiture hearing scheduled for June 14th, 2018, in Phoenix Municipal Court, which would be tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Smith, bring over a summary of your case in the agenda now.
Okay.
Okay, so when you were released, you were pre-approved to live in the Midway, 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix, Arizona. Then on May 3rd, 2018, you were discharged for using spice. Then,
incorrect, sir.
Pardon me?
That is incorrect.
Okay, well, hang on a minute. So it says that on May 2nd, you were temporarily approved to live with your parents, Carlene Smith.
Correct.
On Constitution Drive in Chandler.
Yes, and that was the day before the discharge, did you say?
Well, it's, yeah.
Okay.
But that's when you were approved. So then since May 8th, your father stated that you, let's see, he says that you did not go there. In other words, by the 8th, you hadn't showed up at your parents' house. So, let's go back. Let's go with the discharge. So if they discharge you for using spice, but you say that's not true, what did they discharge you for?
You know what, sir? I'm not sure exactly what they discharged me for, but the issue was that I was getting things stolen from there. The place was nasty. I talked to my parole officer and explained to him the situation, and that's when he gave me the option of going to stay with my parents. So from that point on, I never returned to the halfway house. So I'm not sure why they stated that, but pretty much I just never went back to the halfway house. I never contacted them or let them know anything. I didn't feel that I had to, simply because my parole officer had given me permission to go stay with my parents.
Right. I don't find anything in the notes about the discharge. It's we have to rely on a paperwork that's sent to us with a warrant and everything. And I will admit sometimes there are, you know, typographical errors, things. So before you got permission to go to your parents' house and you left, so, but before that happened, did you have any run-ins with staff there? Did they catch you in possession of something or accuse you of being in possession of something? Or?
No, never. That's why I did not understand that. That was like quite a shock to me. I really don't understand that at all. I never had any issue with anything there besides my property getting stolen and the place being so nasty.
Okay, so you were there at V-Ray very long.
No, I was not.
Did you complain to staff about the conditions and stuff, or did you just give all the complaints to your PO?
You know what? Thinking back, I did address the issue that I had a couple of things stolen, like my expensive Bluetooth speaker was stolen. I did let them know that, you know, my stuff was stolen, so if there's anything they could do about it, please do, but never really complained about the issue of it being nasty or anything like that, but...
Okay. So you say you didn't use spice, and did you use it any other times that you didn't get caught for it?
No, that's why I'm completely in the dark on that.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on from there. So, you were out very long ago. Did you have any employment while you were out at all, sir?
Yeah, I did. I actually, for 2 days, I worked at a company called Family Moving and Storage for a guy named Jeff. I just started getting on my feet with that. So I did work 2 days before I was locked up again.
Okay, well, at least you're out there trying, making that effort to get some employment. So for random drug testing, you submitted a urine specimen that was positive for meth and morphine on 5-4 of 2018. So, did you have an ongoing drug problem, sir?
You know what, I have had a problem with drugs in the past, and you know what, I have to admit I did make the mistake of using both, and I feel like that if I get help with my drug problem, that'd be a lot better than what I have going on right now. You know, I definitely have to admit that I am an addict, and you know, I would really like to take the steps that I need to take to fix that issue.
Okay, I think Mr. Westby has some information for us.
Yes, I was following along at a corner notes from this PO, Officer Apollo, and apparently in the residence section, I believe there was a typo on there with the date, which threw the order off. It was saying May 2nd, 2019, was temporarily approved to live with his parents. I'm looking at the corner notes here, and they do have the discharge letter in here, even though it's not attached to the warrant. They do have the text from it is on the page. It says on their discharge notice May 3rd, 2018 regarding Marvin Smith, ADC number 322775, intake date April 27th, 2018. This letter is to confirm that the above individual has been discharged from our self-pay program on May 3rd, 2018 for the following reasons: failure to comply with VMA policies and procedures assigned by individual, self-admission to spice use while on site on May 2nd, 2018. At time of discharge, above individual approved an outstanding balance of $17. If you have any questions, contact me. Respectfully, Ryan Sturgeon, Admissions Director, VMA Recovery Housing. The following day, on May 4th, okay, on the warrant it said May 2nd, but it's actually in the note here that its time being stamped was May 4th. A federal contacted a signed PO stating he was admitted at a hospital stay with a girlfriend for a night, wanted to live with his mother, Carlene Smith, at this 1523's Constitution Drive in Chandler. And he was directed to report on May 8th at Western Regional Parole, also directed to drop a UA today, which that UA that on May 4th subsequently tested positive for amphetamines and opiates. So just to give a little correction, here is what the timeline was with the date. So he was discharged for admitted spice use, and that's why his PO did direct him to go drop the UA the following day after he received the discharge.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Smith.
Yes.
All right. Well, according to the discharge letter, they say you self-admitted to using spice, and the PO that wrote the warrant has to rely on that letter, and we have to rely on the letter and what the PO wrote. But we can, you know, but even if you set that the spice aside, you're still testing positive for methamphetamine and morphine.
That's correct, sir. And also, I'm just wondering, I mean, if, you know, I was using spice, I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter, but I mean, when I feel like that would have came up in the drug test, that, you know,
well, I don't know.
Discharge, I don't know
how spice shows up in the drug tests. I know it's a synthetic, it's not, you know, but it's not the real thing. No, it's a synthetic, so that's why it took a while for it to really take note and get to it. But even if we set that aside, though, when you were using meth and you were using morphine and...
Right, and I admit to that. Like, I mean, I would have no problem admitting if I did use
one. Like I said, aside from the spice, you've got two other drugs that you tested positive for, so you were using drugs.
Correct.
And you didn't show up at your, according to your father anyway, you didn't show up at your parents' house when you were supposed to. So that's where, you know, I mean, because of the dates and everything, you didn't have any scouting time, but you weren't following the directions, you weren't doing what you said you were going to do. So, and you know, missed another UA. Okay, sir, I'm proceeding myself, we don't have any questions at this time. No questions. Okay, so we're near the end of your hearing. We would like to give you another opportunity, or an opportunity to make a final statement before we go into discussion to make a determination. So if there's anything, any other information you'd like to give us, now would be the time to do it. We don't, or we ask that you don't repeat the information you've already given us, but we'd like to, you know, give you that chance to give a final statement.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, I was just trying to say that, you know, as far as the drug use, you know, I did do it, and I know that I do need help with that, and I feel like that if I were, you know, out, then I could get the help with that, going to a rehab center or something of that sort. As far as the other charge, the theft, my parents actually bought me a brand new phone from MetroPCS, which I have the receipts for, the box and everything. That was actually the phone that was taken from me by the Phoenix PD that day. I'm really kind of upset and don't understand that. I don't know, you know, how or why they did that, but they took my phone, and I believe that they gave it to the woman who tried to run me over. You know, so I only had that phone on me. It's my phone in my name. Bill is DeMarvin Smith Jr. So as far as that, I feel like that was wrong, and, you know, I think about
I don't know if you noticed, I kind of stayed away from those allegations just because, you know, we didn't have a report on where they went into it, but Mr. Yeah. said the disposition don't know, and I kind of stayed away from anything on there so that you don't say anything that might be picked up from our recordings and used against you if you end up in a trial or a situation like that. So until those things are resolved, and so I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know that both of those charges were dropped as well.
Okay, well we have to go on with the, you know, what we can get from the parole office and what they need to get the information from the prosecuting attorneys, but it's not always up to date either. They can get information that something's pending and the next day it's dismissed and we don't know that. But anyway, what I was going to say is the information or the instance with the phone and the criminal damage and that stuff will let, you know, that case resolve itself on those issues. But, you know, there are issues about not following directives and not and using methamphetamines and morphine, that's the issues that we're really looking at the closest right now. So,
all right.
Okay.
And, you know, I understand that. I mean, just to conclude my final statement, I feel like that if I could get help with the drug use, that would really, really benefit me. As far as the not following directions, I'm not sure why my father stated that. I did go to the house. That's where I went to work, was from there. I feel like, you know, going through this situation after getting released from prison and then, you know, going back this fast, if nothing else, it is really, I really felt the effect of that, and I feel like that if I was given another chance, that I would succeed. This is not what I want. I mean, of course, no one wants this, but just looking at the situation, I feel like that the mistakes that I did make, they're very visible, and I feel like, you know, I just need the opportunity to do what I need to do to fix it.
Okay, thank you, sir. Before we go into the discussion, we got to amongst ourselves make a decision. We may think we're talking to you, but we won't really just try to decide how we're going to vote. So stay on the phone.
Okay.
You can listen to the entire conversation and hear the decision as it's being made, but we ask you to remain silent, and I'll get back to you shortly, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
All right, we're going to discussion. This is kind of a unique situation with the two allegations and about the theft and criminal damage and those things, and by just kind of leaving them aside, there was enough information at the time that he was at least, you know, charged, even if he wasn't physically arrested that day. So there was something about it, but we don't know exactly what. But very shortly after getting released from prison, he used meth, used morphine, and That's just very unacceptable. And it, you know, based on everything we have right now, I don't see him as a good candidate for return to community supervision. I think that he would be well served to spend the remainder of his time seeking out like NA and AA classes, that kind of programming, and getting himself stabilized and make a good plan so when he gets out, he can move in the right direction. I want to listen to discussion from my fellow board members. Okay. Based on all information, warrant number 2018W1353, testimony of Mr. Smith, all the information from the Department of Corrections, I'm moving legal supervision of Mr. Smith as he was delinquent, violating terms of additional supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Galunas, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Downs, Dr. Windhouse. Okay, Mr. Smith, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. According to the paperwork we have, you're scheduled to be released on about September 24th of 2018, which really isn't too far away. But in the meantime, we suggest that you try to get some AA and NA type programming in there, because even if you can't complete a full 12-step program before you get out, every class that you attend can be beneficial and help point you in the right direction. And while you're doing that, make a good plan for yourself so when you get out, you'll be able to go out, get a job, be stabilized, and hopefully you won't need much help at that point in time to completely rid yourself of the drug use. So we do wish you luck. We don't want to see you back, and it's not because we don't like you, sir. We don't want to see you back in the Department of Corrections. Okay?
All right.
Thank you very much. Please put the CL3 back on the phone, and this will end your hearing, sir.
Thank you, Your